Amen. I call your attention tonight. Let's go to three passages. Let's go, first of all, to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. We're going to begin in verse 29. And as they departed, keep that in mind, as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men, mark that, two, sitting by the wayside. And when they heard that Jesus passed by, they cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. And they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still. He stopped and called them and said, "What will ye that I should do unto you?" And they said unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Now I want you to go to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 18. And I want you to look with me at verse 35. "And it came to pass that as he was come near to Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, 'Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me.' And they which went before him," or went before, "rebuked him that he should hold his peace. And he cried so much the more, 'Thou Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' And he said, 'Lord, that I may receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee.' And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." Then I want you to turn to the Gospel of Mark. I want you to go to Mark chapter number 10. Mark 10. Look with me, beginning in verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho. That's different than what we just previously read when it said, as they were going in to Jericho, right? It says, as he went out with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. In our three passages here, each one of the synoptic gospels tell the story of this man named Bartimaeus. Can you name in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, Can you name any other person that was healed that was named? I want the old cogs to get going tonight here, right? I began thinking about this afternoon. If I throw the Gospel of John in about somebody that was healed, the only one that readily comes to mind is Lazarus in the Gospel of John. But Lazarus' story is not found in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. And unless my memory is failing me, Bartimaeus is the only person that is named as receiving healing in any of the synoptic gospels, and only Lazarus that I can think of when you throw in the Gospel of John. Perhaps you can think of another one, and so as you're going through the New Testament this year, I want you to maybe keep this question in mind. Was he named? Was she named? I began to think about it. The man that was blind, that it was at the Pool of Siloam. We don't know what his name was. I don't have a clue what the lady who had the issue of blood for 12 years, I don't know what her name was. And you can take miracle after miracle, healing after healing, and there is not an identification, but yet in the Gospel of Mark here, we see that he's identified by name, blind Bartimaeus. Now somebody says, well, man, I wonder why that's the case. I wonder as well. I can tell you this, that Bartimaeus, I can tell you what his father's name was. His father's name was Timaeus, because the bar, as it says here in our text, it says the son of Timaeus. The little prefix bar means son of. In other words, if in my family, I could have named my son Bartimaeus. And somebody would have said, oh, that's Bartimaeus, that's the son of Thomas. And so this man's father was named Timaeus. Now somebody else would say, I have an idea why his name was there. And let me tell you what one of the reasons is, and perhaps this is what you're thinking. The Gospel of Mark was not written at the time that this miracle took place. But yet there's some people, and they think that because of the timing of it, that when Mark wrote this gospel, that Bartimaeus was a member of the early church, and that his story had been told over and over and over again, and that he was so well known in that early church that it was just natural for him to have his name added when young Mark was penning this gospel, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if that's valid, but it makes sense. I mean, it's certainly within the realm of possibility. I know that from just this congregation. When you hear a story of somebody and how that they met the Lord and how that they had these various things happen to them, there's almost a wow factor, all right? I'll give you an example. One of the sweet elderly ladies in our church called me today, and she said, I just wanted you to know that I'll be in Sunday school Sunday, but I can't come to church. She said, there's a lady that's going to be here, and she doesn't understand English, and so I'm going to go with her this Sunday to a Spanish congregation. She said, but I'll be back next week. And I said, well, I'm going to let you off the hook, because I'm not going to be in church either. I'm going to be in Puerto Rico. And she said, oh, why didn't you take me? I said, why don't you go in my place? And she was like, well, I would love to go. She said, I could be your interpreter. And I said, yeah, that would be great. And she said, and then we could tell them that we preached the good message. And I said, well, I don't know how that would go over. But anyway, let me tell you her story. And some of you have heard it. As a matter of fact, it may still be there. But we did a video of her, Miss Gilda Reyes, and we put it on our church website, and I guess we've had several hundred people that have looked at that video. And basically what I did was I interviewed her and I said, tell me your story of you and Brother Ray. Her husband was named Ray. The story was that when Castro took over in Cuba, they gave people the opportunity to get out, but they could not take anything with them. They had one change of clothes that they could take. They had to sell their car and give the money to the Cuban communist. They did an inventory of their house a couple of weeks before they were given the opportunity to leave, and if anything would have not been on that list when they got ready to leave, they would have locked them up in prison. To be able to get her wedding rings out of Cuba, Brother Ray took his shoe, he pried the heel of his shoe off. He carved out a hole in the shoe, the heel of the shoe. He put the rings inside and then nailed the heel back on his shoe. And that's how he got the wedding rings out of Cuba. Well, I mean, I'm just fascinated by this story. And so I've told people that story. I guess I've told it probably in the last 3 or 4 years. I bet you I've told it 25 times. And they're just like, wow. Well, don't you think that there could be a wow factor with blind Bartimaeus? Let me tell you, I was over in Jericho. I was sitting on the side of the road. And all of a sudden, there's a big crowd coming by. And I was blind, and this Jesus that I had heard so much about, he called me over, me and my buddy. And we were both blind, and we both got healed. Don't you think that would be a wow factor? I think so. And you've all heard stories. When I was first saved, there was an evangelist named Carl Hatch. And I would listen to Carl Hatch to give his testimony, and I'm thinking, man, that is amazing. I mean, this guy was a drunk. I mean, this guy had committed I'd committed every sin you could commit but murder. And he said, I'd planned on doing that. I was going to kill my wife. And he just talked about how that, man, he did this and he did that. And as a young man, I'm just sitting there with my mouth dropped open. And then God saved him, and then he's winning people to the Lord all over the country. He's preaching revivals, and how do I know about that? Because I graduated from high school with his daughter. And it was just like a wow. Well, so that's a pretty valid argument that maybe Mark knew him by name and knew the story as he was penning this gospel under the inspiration of the Lord. And so I think that when you put all of these passages together, there's two things that just don't seem to mesh. Number one, in Matthew you have two blind men. In Mark and in Luke you have one. Well, why is that an issue? Do you not remember the maniac of Gadara? There were actually two maniacs that were in the cemetery, but one of them did the majority of the talking that is recorded. And so just because two of the gospel writers only mention one, that doesn't negate the fact that there could have been a second one there. There are some people that say that Bartimaeus got healed, and then as Jesus was leaving, the other man received his sight. And so Matthew just combined both of them together. Mark only talked about Bartimaeus, and Luke only talked about Bartimaeus, and the other man remained unnamed. And so that's that apparent contradiction, which is not one. The other one is that in one of the Gospels, it says that as he was coming in or coming nearby, so in other words, he was entering into Jericho, and then the other one says as he was leaving. So how does those two things jive? Well, if you look at verse number 46 of our text tonight, which is in the Gospel of Mark. By the way, we're going to be in Mark. We're not going back to Matthew or Luke tonight. But in Mark chapter 10, verse 46, and it says, "And they came to Jericho, and then as he went out of Jericho. Now I want you to get the picture. Jericho was on a main road. The Roman military used this road constantly in their maneuvers. But what you have is you've got this road, and then there would be a road that would peel off, and you would be able to go inside of the town of Jericho. Now, all major towns had walls around them, all right? Matter of fact, the walls of Jericho fell down flat one time several hundred years, about, 1,500 years prior, when the children of Israel were walking around it. And so you had a bypass, and then you'd have a little spur that would go into the city, and then you would have multiple gates into the city. And so depending on where Bartimaeus was sitting, you may have had witnesses that saw Jesus going in, and then other people may have seen him from over here, and maybe it looked like he was going in an opposite direction, maybe out another gate. And so just because one says going in, the other one says going out, there's not a problem there. An example in our time. How many of you ever traveled 441? The 441 going down through, it goes actually, I think, from Athens or maybe even up in North Georgia all the way down through McRae down in that area, all right? Well, when you're over near Milledgeville, all right, there's a 441 that will swing through town, but there's a 441 that will bypass town. And so if Jesus was going into Jericho, he just was not taking the bypass. He went into town and then he went out of town. And so that's the easy way to explain the supposed discrepancies. Where all of this took place, and the reason that it took place, because in the 1950s, there was a woman named Kathleen Kenyon, and she was an archaeologist. She had an assistant named H.J. Franken. And in some of their writings, they said, and this is just part of one of Franken's writings, he said, there's no archaeological data to support the town surrounded by a wall, talking about the wall of Jericho that fell flat, all right? And so said there's nothing to substantiate that. Problem is, new archaeological digs have found a lower Jericho and an upper Jericho. You had people like Herod, and what did he do? He built on the upper Jericho area, he built a palace. And Herod had a palace, and so another example or explanation of Jesus would be he was going out of Jericho, but then he was going into upper Jericho. And so there's no contradictions in the Bible. There is always an answer. Several years ago, Deb and I were invited to go speak to a bunch of graduates that were going to be graduating in May. I think this was maybe in April when I went and spoke to them up in North Georgia. And one of the things that I told those seniors, I said, you're getting ready to go off to college, and you're going to have people that want to denigrate your Bible. But I want you to know this, and you learn it hard, and you learn it fast, you learn it deep, you learn it strong, you learn it solid, just learn it. When there seems to be a problem with the Bible, there's not. There's always an answer. And so you just remember that. And so I hope that over the years, as their faith is attacked, that they'll be able to be strong in knowing that there's always a biblical answer, even when there seems to be a problem in the biblical text. There's not. Okay? Well, that's too much of an introduction, so we're going to have to go quick through the body of the message. The first thing I want you to see is found in verse 46. I want you to see Bartimaeus' situation. It says he was blind. Well, can I tell you that is a really debilitating disease? Whether it's by injury or whether it's something that someone maybe genetic has been born that way. And I don't have any idea how Bartimaeus became blind. I don't know if it happened during the birthing process. I don't know if it happened as a childhood accident. I don't have any idea how Bartimaeus became blind, but let's just say that blindness is blindness. He was never able to see his mother. He never saw his mother smile. When he's walking down the road, he may hear a dog, but he can't see a dog barking and maybe growling at him. And I mean, he can hear the growl, but he can't see the teeth. He never got to look at the beauty of a flower. He was never able to go out to Jericho and look up into the palm trees and see the dates that would be in the top of those trees. And he was never able to see any of the fruits that were there. He was never able to look up in the night sky and see 300 or 500 or 1,000 stars. He was never able to see that. He was blind. And so, when I think about how we could apply that to people, may I say that at some point in our lives, every one of us are blind spiritually. Some of us are blind, we can't see. Oh, no, we may have eyes and we may have 20/20 vision. We may be able to look back and see something moving on a back wall that may be 75 or 100 feet away. We may be able to see all of that, but spiritually, we're blind. There are a lot of smart people that just don't get things when it comes to the Lord. They don't see. How many of you have known somebody like that? I mean, when it comes to education, man, they got it. When it comes to IQ, they seem to really have it. When it comes to reason and logic, they seem to really just get it. And they look at people that maybe are Christian and they look at us as being maybe a little weak mentally. They look at us as being, maybe just not quite up to par, so to speak. And yet, the truth of the matter is, they are the ones that don't see. I mean, whenever I was lost, I knew it. And when I finally began to know it, and I began to see my need, that's when things began to change for me. Until I saw my need, those old people at church, they were just somebody to laugh at. I mean, I thought I was the smartest guy going when it came to my life. I mean, I thought I knew more than my parents. I thought I knew more than my grandparents. I thought I knew more than my teachers. I thought I knew more than anybody. When the truth of the matter is, I was probably the dumbest guy in the room. And so, he was blind. Not only was he blind, he's poor. You say, well, how do you know he's poor? He's out there begging. I mean, that's pretty obvious. Blind people were not able to work the way that other people were able to work. You've got people that have trades. If you're a blind man, how are you gonna tend to sheep? You can't see the wolves coming. You can't see the bear coming. You can't see the thief coming. And if you did hear them coming, how are you gonna stop them? You think you're gonna have some kind of daredevil sense where that you can see them whenever they're fighting you? I don't think so. And so what do you have? You've got a man that's blind, you got a man that's poor, and so he's reduced to sitting on the side of the road begging. Now, at this particular time, this was money season, all right? You say, why do you say that? Because what time of year was it? Passover. Jesus is less than 10 days from being crucified. I mean, he is on his way up to Jerusalem, and you going through Jericho to get to Jerusalem. And so you've got Jesus, he's in Jericho, but can I tell you something? At Passover, according to Josephus, the crowd swell. I mean, they would swell to as much as 3 million people in the town of Jerusalem. That city was bulging. You would have people that would have little tents set up outside of the city because there was no more room inside the city. Well, many of those people were on the Jericho Road. And let me tell you something. If you're going to worship God, doesn't that do something to the generosity of your heart when knowing that God's going to be looking at your heart? And so they're thinking, man, I better give. And we got these poor people sitting there. And so this is the best season, all right? I mean, this is like, it's the time when the, you know, I guess to use a Georgia term, if you're a farmer, this is when the Vidalia onions are coming in, all right? This is when you're going to make your money for the year. And so you've got Bartimaeus, you've got his buddy that's sitting next to him. No doubt there's other people that are scattered all around Jericho. And why? Because this is a prosperous city. Remember, Herod's built his palace there. You got businesses that are there. It is called the City of Palms. And so here this man is, and he is begging. And I mean, it's like if he can make bank during Passover time, when all of these people are in a generous mood, then he can survive the rest of the year. And that's where he's at. So he's blind. He is poor. He's on the side of the road. He doesn't even have a little hut to sit under, so to speak. And so that's the situation that we find him in. But let me tell you what he has a knowledge of. Bartimaeus' knowledge tells me that he is not a stupid man. He's not just a simpleton. If you begin to read, what does it say in verse 47? He heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Now, if you can't see, but you can hear, you can still learn stuff. All right? And sometimes we have people and they don't hear well. And then I've had people say, well, they hear what they want to hear. Years ago, there was a little guy. He was about 55 or 60 years old, but he was working at the post office, but he was so short that people called him Boy. And one day a guy came up to him and said, Boy, loan me $5. And he said, Say what? And he turned his head the other way and he said, Boy, loan me $10. He said, Say it again in that $5 ear. In other words, he could hear what he wanted to hear, all right? And so he had heard the stories. Now remember, he's sitting out there. This is his livelihood. I mean, he's at work sitting there just like they still have today in Israel. You got people sitting there and they'll take their little cup and they'll just tap it on a handrail. And if somebody drops something in, they'll take it and they'll put it in their little coat pocket and they'll start tapping again. And you've got this man and he's saying probably something like this, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. And then he would hear somebody talking. And he would say, Say that again? Well, about a month ago, I saw Jesus in Jerusalem. Jesus, I've heard that name before. Oh yeah. There's never been a prophet like him in this country. I mean, some people are saying he's Messiah. And I mean, about a month ago, we were over by the Pool of Siloam, and we saw a guy that was blind, and he said that Jesus had touched his eyes, and he had got some clay and some spittle and put on his eyes, and then he told me to go wash in the Pool of Siloam, and it said, That guy could see. And Bartimaeus is thinking, Wow, that blind man got sight. If Jesus comes by here, maybe there's hope for me. And so this is not a simpleton man. I mean, he's heard the stories. He's probably heard about Lazarus being raised from the dead. Maybe he's heard about the woman that had the issue of blood. But he's heard these stories, and now this same Jesus is coming by Jericho. And he hears this crowd and his heart begins to race. And as he gets closer, he begins to cry out. And he says, Have mercy on me. And he says, Have mercy on me. And as he begins to say that, some of the people are there saying, Shut up, man. We don't want you here. You know, you're embarrassing us. You know, I mean, this is the big rabbi right here. Maybe it was even part of the entourage that was following Jesus. Because you see, you would have people that would follow a rabbi for miles and miles just to hear the man talk so that they might glean a little bit of wisdom. Well, this guy's yelling, "Have mercy on us!" And they're going, "Be quiet, be quiet." But then you see Bartimaeus' persistence. What's he doing? He's going, "I'm not going to be quiet." And it says that he cried louder. In the Greek word, there's two words that Luke uses. One of them means loud, and one of them has the idea and carries the word of shrieking. In other words, it is as loud as he can possibly scream. And they're going, "Shut up!" And he's going, "Jesus, have mercy on me!" And then finally, what do we see? We see Jesus stopping. And he says, "Go get him." And he's saying, people that are saying, "Shut up!" They're going, "Hey, man, he wants you to come talk to him now." And I think all of us have probably known of people that were not maybe quite as tactful in ways of telling people certain things. I heard the story of a guy that had gotten saved, and he had kind of come from a rough background. And so he was at church, and they were having prayer time, and he began to pray, and he began to talk and say things that maybe were not quite orthodox, I guess would be a way to say it. And so afterward, some of the men came up to him and said, "We just wanted to talk to you about your prayer." "And well, what do you want to know about it?" "Well, you were saying some things that just were not quite right." He goes, "But what business is it yours? I wasn't talking to you." And the truth of the matter is, he was right. He's like, "I was talking to God. I don't care what you're listening or not. It's just me and the Lord here." And so Bartimaeus is called. And we see the persistence that he had. And we see that Jesus responds to that. It's almost like the guy that had a friend that came late one night. And of course, in Eastern cultures, you know, if you go to visit somebody's house, you got to eat. I mean, you just got to have something to eat. I mean, you may get there in the middle of the night. "Oh, I got to feed you." That's part of the culture. Well, this guy didn't have any bread. So what does he do? He goes over to the baker. Midnight. The guy goes, "What do you want?" "I need to buy some bread." "Man, it's the middle of the night. Come back in the morning." "I told you to come back in the morning. My friend's here tonight. I got to have the bread." "Go away." Because of the man's importunity, because of his persistence, the man gets up and gives him the bread just to get him gone. Can I tell you that there have been times when I've done things just to get people gone? I had a lady come by my office one time, and I'm telling you, the tobacco smoke would gag you. And finally I said, I finally just stopped her in the middle of her story. I said, what do you want? She said, "Well, I need some money." I said, "I can't give any church money. Here's 20 bucks. Got to go." And I just gave her the money just to get her out. Why? She was persistent. I'm thinking, I've heard this story 100 times. I haven't believed it 99 times. But because of the persistence, okay, here's some help. Go. And that's what the baker did. And can I tell you that Bartimaeus had some persistence in asking God for things? And when he did, he got healed. his buddy got healed. And so when I look at old Bartimaeus, and Jesus said, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" You know, the first thing that he asked for, he said, "Lord, have mercy on me." But then when Jesus said, "What form do you want that in?" He said, "Well, I'd like to see." All right? The last thing about Bartimaeus we see, and this is kind of maybe one of the reasons why it makes me think that maybe he was a part of that early church. Look at the last little bit of verse 52. After he got his sight, what did he do? He followed Jesus in the way. Now, I know there's some people, and there's probably even some translations that would say something like this. Well, he followed Jesus on the road, all right? And I wouldn't take offense with that. But let me just offer this to you. What was it called in the book of Acts when people followed Jesus? They would say, "Are you in the way?" Perhaps the way here is means that he followed the path that Jesus set out when he said in Matthew 16, "I will build my church." And we have that organization in place, and then we see it empowered on Pentecost, and that early church begins, and perhaps old Bartimaeus was a part of that being in the way, according to our text here in Mark chapter 10. And so, one final thought. Have you ever known anybody to have faith by seeing? The scriptures doesn't tell us that we can get faith by seeing. It says that there are some people see, but they don't see. And it says there are some people that hear, but they don't hear. But I can tell you in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, it says that faith comes by a certain thing. What is that thing? Any of you know that verse? Faith comes by hearing. That's exactly right. You're right on the money with it. So all of those stories on the Jericho Road, when those passerbys would say, "Man, let me tell you, I heard that Jesus blessed some bread and some fish, and I mean 5,000 men plus their wives, and if they had kids, they got them fed too." Then it wasn't long before he was on another side of that Sea of Galilee, and it was a bunch of Gentiles, and he fed 4,000 men plus their families. And he'd hear those stories, and he's thinking, "Man, I want to meet this Jesus. I want to meet that Lord Jesus. Oh, he is the Son of David," which is a messianic term. And so you've got old blind Bartimaeus, and he's heard those stories, and he's heard those stories. And let me tell you something, that's why it's important that our kids hear those stories. I want them to hear the stories of Jesus. And I, as the old hymn writer says, I want God to write it on their heart, every word. Tell me the story of Jesus. All right? Hearing is very, very important. As a matter of fact, it might be more important than seeing. But I'm going to tell you something, it sure does bless your heart once you're a Christian, when you begin to see the hand of God moving in our circumstances. Well, that's enough for tonight. Let's stand.